He is absolutely worthy. You guys can be seated if you can in the presence of God. Big welcome to everyone joining us online today. Glad that you are with us. If you would, take a couple of seconds and hit that like button and that share button so we can reach as many people as we possibly can with the message today. And you guys in-house as well, feel free to grab your phone and check in on social media and share the live stream either on Facebook or YouTube and help us get the message out there. For everyone that would like and share the live stream today, we will donate $1 to missions in honor of you sharing the live stream. So we get to reach people online, and we'll reach people across the world too with one simple act. So it's amazing. I tell you, I was talking to a pastor buddy of mine, and he kind of got negative on me. He says, well, it's going to be bad weather on Sunday, so I guess about half the church is not going to show up. And I was like, well, I don't even want to say that, man. I said, why don't you just wait and see? People might surprise you, you know? And he's like, man, Christians don't go to church when it rains. And I thought, well, I tell you what, apparently people at Eastgate come to church when it's nasty weather outside. So I praise God for you guys showing up today. And that's not to throw shade on anyone that stayed home today and watched online. I better fix that fast, right? But we're glad that you're joining us either way. But you guys showed up in force, and I tell you what, it's just great to see you. Y'all are always a good-looking group of people, and I love your hearts. Especially on days like today, a pastor is able to gauge the maturing process in the lives of the people in the church. And for people to show up on a nasty weather day like this, when it would be a lot easier to be curled up with a blanket on the couch with a cup of coffee. Well, I better be careful. Y'all might leave, right? But I tell you, it says a lot, man. But I will say this. There's just something about being in the house that is so different than watching online. And I'm glad we have it as a tool for the church. And we're glad we have it as a tool to reach others, literally, across the nation and across the world. I think it's like 46 or 7 states now that our live stream is viewed in, and I think it's over 60 countries across the world. It's very humbling to even think about that, but I tell you, it's exciting too at the same time. So God is moving. Don't forget today, immediately after service, Party with the Pastors is today. So if you're recently newer to the church or if you're a guest here today, I'd encourage you with all my heart, just carve out a few minutes. Go to Party with the Pastors. It's a great hangout where you'll get to meet a lot of the staff and just quickly hear about our heart and vision as a church. It's not a sales pitch. We're just kind of letting you know who we are, a little bit about our DNA. There'll be snacks and fun stuff to eat. Yeah, amen for snacks, right? So make sure that you're there for that. Also, if you know, here today, we've got a huddle meeting for our 90-day personal growth challenge after service today in here. So make sure you hang out for that. A lot of stuff going on, for sure. Boy, I tell you, I don't regret letting God do what God does anytime we do it. So now my challenge is to give you this message in an abbreviated form, maybe. I don't know. Do I need, somebody said amen to that? Well, my next question was going to be, do y'all want the Cliff Notes abbreviated or do y'all want like the full 3-course meal today? So I'm not going to point out who said amen to the abbreviated, but no, that's great. My voice would probably appreciate the abbreviated today. We'll get into this and we'll see what the Lord does. I think at the end of the day, it's not so much about finishing what's on a piece of paper or an outline. It's about accomplishing what God wants to do in the house. Amen. So if you're a guest here today, my name's Josh. I get the privilege of being lead pastor here at Eastgate, which means that I'm lead servant here. And if I haven't met you yet, please give me the opportunity to meet you before you leave today. I'd love to get to know you, hear a little bit about your story, and just say thank you for being with us today. Have y'all ever been to Gatlinburg? Oh, my goodness. Y'all ever been to the Gatlinburg Pigeon Forge area? That's one of, like, my wife Kelly and me, that's one of our getaway spots. Man, I love going there because you can just, I mean, basically do anything you want to do there. They've got amusement parks there. You know, they've got, you walk by, you got bands playing on corners at places. They got 10 million restaurants, it seems like. And you can spend... You can spend $5 on food, or you can spend $300 on a dinner there. You know, you can eat cheap, or you can go five star and do some fine dining, have some great fun. A lot of entertainment, you can just do what you want to do, or you can just get a cabin and stare at the mountains for 3 days and not do a God blessed thing and just drink coffee or tea or whatever. Eat in the cabin and just think, thank God I'm not stuck in rush hour traffic heading home from work today. You know, we love going there. I just confession, I like going because I like checking out the bears. I am a bear super freak, man. I just, with brown bears, grizzly bears, black bears, whatever, you know, polar bears, koala bears, panda bears. I love bears. So I love getting up there to drive around, hopefully catch a glimpse at one if we go, like, in the spring or the summer, fall. It's a lot more crowded during those seasons. So Kelly and I like to go a lot of times for her birthday, you know, and it's her birthday lands in January. And they've got the Winterfest thing going on up there. So you go, it's less crowded, and it's kind of cold in the mountains, and sometimes it might snow. So that's kind of cool. And they got the Christmas lights and all this stuff up. So we like to go and avoid all the crowds and all that. We were up there a couple of years ago, and I tell you, one thing, it doesn't matter what time of the year it is, especially if you walk in the strip in Gatlinburg, if you drop a Ric Flair anywhere in Gatlinburg, you're going to get it back. It's like a redneck code of honor or something, like you have to do it. It's like, you know, there are calls to call in turkeys, there are calls to call in deer. There are calls, you know, if you're out hunting, to call in, you know, different animals. If you want to call in a redneck, drop a Ric Flair in a public place. They can't help it. And I'll be honest, sometimes I'm guilty of doing it too. You hear somebody just go, woo! And then you hear, see, there you go. I just say, if you're ever in Gatlinburg on the strip, just test it. It doesn't matter if you only see five people over the next mile out there. Somebody will pop their head out a window and go, woo, and hit you back, I promise you. It will happen. So we're up there a couple of years ago, and Kelly had to shop. Because she was looking for a few specific things, you know, which I can appreciate. So we went to every store in the area because I'm a good husband and I want to make sure my wife gets what she needs. So after a while, though, I tapped out. You know, there's only so many stores. I got a threshold, man. My dogs were barking and I was just like, baby, I love that you want this stuff. I will drive you wherever you want to go and I will guard this car while you go inside. And so... So I was driving around, you know, and dropping her off in places and sitting in the parking lot. And she said, there's a couple of more stores I want to hit over by the island. If you're familiar with the area, you know where the island is in Pigeon Forge. And if not, check it out when you go. There's a lot of cool stuff in that area. And so I said, all right, fine, baby. I'll drop you off here. I'll go and get some coffee and I'll come back. So I dropped her off. I went and got some coffee. About a half hour later, she shoots me a text. Hey, I'm getting close to being ready. And I'm like, okay, that means I'm going to wait about another 20 minutes, and then I'll head that way. Because I know my wife, and there's nothing wrong with that. So I start heading that way, and she's in this little corner store just as you come into the island. I'm pulling into, like, the main drive to go in. And as I'm pulling in, this guy pulls out, I mean, cuts me off right in front of me, man, just like that. I mean, if I hadn't hit the brakes, bam, I'd hit him, you know. Didn't see me, obviously. So he pulls out, I tap the brakes, and I just do the little courtesy honk, just like that. Now, there's a difference between the courtesy honk and the, hey, I really want you to know that I'm here and I'm trying to make a point honk, right? So it's like, boop, or, boop, you know. Yeah, some of y'all have seen that done. I'm not saying y'all would have done that, but y'all have seen that done before. So I give him a little boop, little chirp, and he goes, and stops. And I thought, well, we're going to see what's going on with this. Brake lights come on. I can see the motions. He's throwing the thing in park. The lady in the truck next to him, you can see, is doing this, trying to keep him inside, apparently. Door comes open, and this pretty good-sized guy gets out of the truck, just red-faced as can be. Like that, I'm just sitting there. I was like, I can't believe this is happening. Walks up to the vehicle that I'm in, just red-faced. You blankety, blank, blanking, blanker. I mean, just making up. I didn't know there were that many names you could call somebody. You know, just blah, blah, blah. Get out, get out, get out. And I'm like, no, I'm good. I'm going to ride this out, you know, it's for your benefit and mine. So I was like, wait, just get out, go. I was like, that ain't happening, man. So he's all red-faced, and I'll be honest with you, at one point, I just started looking back at him, and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to play this calm. And because part of me's like, I don't know how you're wired, but when somebody does that, and what really was the potential to set everything off is the dude started bow, bow, slapping the hood of the car I was in, blah, 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 blah. I thought, God almighty, man. I said, part of me just wanted to jump out and just go Old Testament, you know. But you never really know what people may or may not be trained in and what they may or may not have on their person. So I was like, well, I'll just ride this out. So he's all red-faced, and I'm just like, I'm just going to sit here and smile at the guy. It's like that. So finally throws his hands. He goes walking back to his truck, and I'm thinking, thank God. Because by then, I mean, everybody's watching the free show. Everybody stopped what they're doing. The sidewalks, there's no motion. Everybody's looking at what's going on, wondering what's going to happen next. And my wife, Kelly, has come out of the store, and she's looking at me, and I know she's thinking, oh, great, Josh has made another friend. Here we go. So he goes to his truck, and instead of getting in, he reaches in and gets something and puts it in his jacket pocket and turns back around. And I thought, oh, my gosh. Here comes the 5 o'clock news. You know what I mean? So I'm just sitting there. And as soon as I saw him do that, I did the responsible thing. And I reached and got my sidearm and just sat there in the car like this. And I didn't wave it around. You're responsible. You know, you be prepared for things. And so he walked up, hand in his pocket. I don't know what this guy's got. He could have got he could have had a can of Skull in his pocket. I don't know. And but I was just sitting there, and just red-faced. Here we go again. Blah, 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 blankety, blank, 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 blank. Get out of the blankety, blank, blank. I'm just like, no. And I just started praying. I was like, Father, this is going somewhere. It doesn't need to go. Lord, just calm this guy down, please. And get him out of here before he does something more irrational than what he's doing now. And a couple of seconds later, he just stops. Now, I don't know if it was the prayer. I don't know if it's just he looked around and noticed there's about 75 witnesses to what he's fixing to do. And he might need to think this through, you know. Or he glanced down and saw that I was ready for whatever he wanted to do, and I don't know, but he just kind of stopped and said a few parting compliments and showed me particular fingers on his hand. I won't go into detail. And went back to his truck, got in, and was gone. Kelly comes walking up. She gets in the car. She goes, "What did you do to that man?" She's like, "Why is it my fault? Like, why is it got to be something that I did? You know, it's just God's having a bad day or something." But I was just thinking, oh my gosh, man, how wound up do you have to be to just go off like that over something minor? You know, cut somebody off, you get the little horn thing, and then you slam on the brakes and go nuclear. It's just crazy. And with people like that, you know, it's never about the incident they're in. It's always about the 30 other things that have happened in their lives that they have now found an opportunity to vent about. Yeah, and that's what this guy was doing, man. I was catching his boss at work. I was catching trouble with the family. I was catching unfulfilled dreams. I think I might have been catching that coach didn't put him in to play quarterback in high school football and they would have won the state championship. Yeah, all that stuff was just blah right there in the moment. And I was like, oh my gosh, man, well, that's what it is, though. And I was kind of like a quick glimpse at how a lot of people in our world operate right now. I mean, does it seem like to you that people are just kind of wound up, just really tight over things? And it's not just people outside in the world. It's people in the church, too. Sometimes you get a sense that they're just wound up real tight on stuff, man. And they snap over just little stuff. They go big over things that really don't matter because it's a venting moment to let all of this stuff out. And really what it is that when we don't deal with the things we need to deal with, when we're supposed to deal with them, those things don't go away. Hurts, offenses, pressures of life, processing and dealing with all of that stuff, when you don't handle it the right way, it doesn't go away. And after a while, it just builds up and compounds, and it affects everything in your life, you know. It's, so many Christians live their lives without joy and without peace because we have so many unresolved issues, so many unresolved offenses, so many, we deal with pressures of life in incorrect ways, and it just, it sets us up for failure. It makes us an easy target for the enemy. So what I want to do is just have a quick conversation with you. I say quick for the sake of people over here that said they wanted an abbreviated conversation today. Just to talk to you and read some scripture, I think, to bring accountability to me and to everyone in here on what the Bible says, and particularly what Jesus himself said, and how we are to resolve offenses and disagreements. Amen. In our lives. So let's take a little bit of time and dig into the anatomy of an offense. I want to lay some scriptural foundation, and we're going to put these up on the screens. If you got your tablets or your devices, follow along with us. I think these notes are available on YouVersion. If you hop on there, you can find all this stuff there too. But we prepared for you, and we'll have these on the screen. James chapter 1, just to lay a foundation of how we as believers are supposed to handle these things. It says, "Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry." Whoo, boy, if we could just get that right. You know what I mean? I think sometimes people read that with the spirit of dyslexia and get stuff mixed around a little bit. We're really fast to speak, really fast to get angry, and slow to listen sometimes. And I haven't quite figured out why that is, but I think a more controlled response puts out a fire before it starts. You know what I mean? Which is the best time to put one out before it starts. Colossians chapter 3 is another good one to consider. It says, "Make allowance for each other's faults, and forgive anyone who offends you." Make allowance for each other's faults. You know what that means? Nobody's perfect. People are going to make mistakes. Be ready for those mistakes when they happen. And when it happens, forgive them. remember, dadgummit, see these little lines right here. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Man, oh man, oh man. Why is it we're so quick to claim grace when we mess up? But if somebody does something to offend us, let's get the posse together. We're going to lynch somebody. Somebody's got to pay a price. Because they didn't mess with anybody else. They messed with me, and me is different. We need to get over ourselves, I think. So Proverbs 19 is another good one. It says in verse 11, it says, "A person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. When it happens, hey, just let it roll off of you. If you can, just overlook it. Not every battle has to be fought. Not every injustice has to be made right. You know what I mean? Let it go. You'll wear yourself out. It's crazy. Now, notice the trend in this, though. Who is responsible for the responses and the actions to resolve the offenses? And these past, ooh, y'all are sharp. We are. Yeah, you said you are. Y'all are pointing at me, right? But we are. We are, right? We are, right? God, y'all want to pay Pastor Josh $750 an hour to do conflict resolution and mediation? We'll talk about that. I'll clean up. I'll make some time available for that. But we are. We are responsible to resolve the issues in our lives. We are. Not burying it under the dirt, covering it up, pretending like it didn't happen, not saying we're over it, and then strutting around when that junk is still in your heart, eating away at you, robbing you of life. You know, Jesus gave us some really good advice on how to deal with issues, especially with those in the church. Because listen, everyone in this room, we could not agree on what a good cup of coffee is supposed to have in it, most of us. You know what I mean? And I'll prove it to you. How many of you like cream in your coffee? How many of you like cream and sugar in your coffee? How many of you like just sugar in your coffee? How many of you like just straight black coffee? Yeah. Nobody's raising their hands. If I said, what's the best college football team in... We couldn't have church anymore because a bunch of godless heathens are going to start shouting, go dogs, here we go. That's what I'm saying. They had a good run last couple of years, I will say that. See, so we're opinionated people, and we should be able to think for ourselves. We're not always going to agree on everything, and especially in church, there'll be a difference of opinions on things. And so learning how to navigate those things to keep what's called unity and peace in the body of Christ is important. So Jesus gives us three things that we're supposed to do when we've got some friction in relationships. Now, I don't know about you, but if it's in the Bible, then it's for me, right? If it's in the Bible and Jesus said it, okay, then it's like double for me. You know what I mean? Because if Jesus says it, then it's got to be wisdom. It's got to be truth. It's got to be the best thing to do. And last time I looked across my life, I've never had a better idea than Jesus. I've never had a better plan than Jesus. It's always been better to do it his way and apply the word of God to my life. So in Matthew 18, we're going to go here and just look at the three things that Jesus says for us to do, just laying some more foundation here. It says, if another believer sins against you, here's number one, go privately and point out the offense. We could just spend the rest of the day on the word privately. It's just y'all are preaching this for me. Y'all seen it. Y'all seen it. Y'all know how this goes, man. I think it's interesting that Jesus uses the word sins. Sin just simply means to miss the mark. It's an archery term. It means when people don't hit the bullseye, when people fall short, when people don't meet expectations or let you down, you know. Go to them privately. Somebody said this a while ago. That doesn't mean social media. That doesn't mean to your five closest friends. That doesn't mean, it means you go to them. Go to them. Everybody say, go to them. See, now that's what a mature adult does. That's what a mature person does. I don't know about you, but I have been through middle school. And I say this with love. Some of us need to move past a middle school emotional state and just solve the issues in our lives instead of acting like a 13-year-old kid that has no control over their responses. So he says, go privately. And here is the whole goal. Go to them privately, point out the offense. If the person listens and confesses, you have won that person back. The motivation is restoration. Not proving your point. Not making them look bad. Not blowing them out of the water or venting on them for what they did or how they made you, but to restore the relationship. Now listen to me. Do you want to be right or do you want to see restoration? Somebody said, ask me after a couple more cups of coffee, Pastor Josh. I get it. And listen, this is why I say I'm applying this too, because I have Monday mornings also. And I have to, at times, just like you, make a conscious effort to control my responses to what happens to me, especially when other individuals are acting like God-blessed buffoons. And so I get it because the offenses come because of whatever. Okay. So first thing, you go talk to them. If we would just do this. Okay, I'll come over here. They look a little. If we would just do this, it would resolve 95% of all the offenses and issues with other people. If mature people would just sit down and have a calm conversation with the goal of peace and resolution and covering with love and preferring one another above each other, you know what I'm saying? And coming in with a servant's heart and the love of Jesus, the same love that gave all and came to serve all. If we reflect the heart of God in a conversation with one another, 95% of it would be solved. For the other 5%, Jesus gives this. He says, but if you're unsuccessful, then take one or two others with you and go back, so that everything may be confirmed by two or three witnesses. Now, he's not talking about get mama and them. All right? That's a little bit different. Yeah, spiritually mature people. God Almighty, there's so much gossip that takes place in the, under the guise of prayer. Oh, just pray for me. I'm going through something. What are you going through? Okay, so probably the best thing to do in a church context is go to a ministry leader, someone with an established track record of maturity, to bring in accountability with the same goal, restoration of the relationship, okay, restoration, and you just have a conversation and try to fix it. Then number three, everybody go three, here we go. This is the big one. If they won't talk to you and if they won't have a conversation with other people, you know, it's weird. I can just stop right here. How many people actually do this stuff? You know what I mean? Not many. Not many. Maybe the church would look a whole lot different. We'd reach a whole lot more people if we just get over ourselves and apply the word of God and have conversations and let the word do the work the word's supposed to do. So number three, Jesus says that the person still refuses to listen because sometimes you just come across that person. All right? And they are, it doesn't matter what you say or what you do, you're just not going to be able to find any kind of restoration in the relationship or the situation. And so he says, all right, if that's the case, then you take the case to church. That doesn't mean you call me and say, hey, Pastor, can I have 5 minutes in the first part of the service on Sunday? I need to take something to the church. No. All right. You come to church leadership. Church leadership. Anytime you're resolving a situation, you should go higher up the chain of authority till the resolution is found. Going sideways doesn't accomplish anything. Okay, go up. Why? For accountability. And it keeps your nose clean a little bit, to be honest with you, because there's more accountability to the situation. There's more accountability to you. Your girlfriends that you have coffee with, listen, they're going to cut somebody right beside you, probably. They're going to back you up. They're going to fan the flames. Girl, let's go get. Boy, he did what? Let's get in the truck right now. Get some baseball bats. We'll put some masks on. We will solve this problem. No, you won't. You'll go to jail. But so he says, go to them, and if they won't accept the church's decision. So if you land in my office, here's what's going to happen. If it's gone through all of this, and you land with me or pastoral staff here at the church to resolve it, and it just... I'm going to open up the Word of God, and we're going to look at what the Bible says about how to resolve issues and conflicts. And I'm going to say, okay, here's what the Bible says. Now, you need to apply this scripture. You need to apply that scripture. And we're going to have resolution and peace here before we walk out. If people push against the application of the Word of God, well, now you've got a different kind of spirit and attitude in the room. When someone reaches that point, the Bible says, listen, we're to forgive, okay? But at that point, we have done all we can do to make things right with this person, all right? So what we do is, the Bible says, treat them as you would a pagan or a corrupt tax collector. What that means is you just disassociate with them. So we're not going to be bowling buddies anymore. I love you in the Lord. I'm going to pray for you. I'm not going to gossip or slander you. I am going to just release this and love you and forgive you. Sometimes forgiveness and restoration do not go hand in hand. Sometimes you have to let people just be a tearhead until they figure it out and come back with a repentant heart. Okay? And you love and you cover until that happens. All right? So that's what Jesus is saying to do. So try to solve it. Bring some people with you. And if not, then you set up a meeting with some spiritual authority. Bring the Word of God to bear. Bring some accountability, some love, some structure. And then, if that fails, you part ways. But the rest of the Bible still applies to you, you see. So that's what you got to do. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. I think it's interesting, just for conversation on the rest of the time that we have here today, that Jesus uses two different words to describe the same event in Matthew 18. In verse 15, he says, if another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. Doesn't use the word sin twice. Doesn't use the word offense twice. He used two separate words. So I did a little bit of digging. One of the things I love about Jesus is there's so much depth involved in what he is saying. Jesus is laying out some incredible wisdom here with regards to resolving offense. He goes, I'm going to give you the playbook. You're going to do these three things to resolve it. And here's why. You know what the word offense that Jesus uses? It's a very specific word. It's a word called scandalon. We'll put it up here on the screen for you. It literally means a stick or trigger for a trap that bait goes on. What Jesus is saying is, when if a believer sins against you, listen, he's disarmed the trap, is what he's saying. Pay attention, because that offense is a snare. It's a snare. Now stop and think for a second. How many people do you know that the passion and love for God has grown cold in because someone in church did something to offend them? Or someone in leadership did something that they didn't understand. Or someone in the family did something, or a husband or a wife did something to you, and it's a trap. It's a trap because it gets us focused on a false issue, on a distraction, and takes our eyes off of what the Bible says, takes our heart away from the Lord. And now we have a festering offense that will eventually grow into bitterness and filter out into other things. It's a distraction. The enemy wants you distracted so he can take you out. I found a video that's like the absolute perfect illustration of this. We're going to play it in just a second. I'm going to talk you through it before they play it so you can see it with correct eyes. It's a video of two, I don't know, they're wildebeest or deer, something, that are locked in conflict with each other. And while they're fighting each other, a lion comes in from a distance, and they never see him coming. All the other deer, boom, out there. And you'll watch them in the video scatter. They're completely oblivious to what's going on and what the real danger is. Go ahead and play that video, and you guys check this out now with some fresh eyes.
They're in the fight.
We are lucky.
We see a fight, maybe. No?
It's coming to me.
They don't get it.
Just wait. Just wait. It's over.
Never even saw it coming. It's a trap. Here's the enemy's plan. His end game is destruction. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your walk with God. He wants to destroy your marriage, your relationship with your children. He wants to destroy. The tactic that he most often uses to bring destruction, especially in how we interact with one another, is division. He will always bring division, because when creating division in a relationship, or division in a church, or division in a marriage, eventually what will happen through that division is separation, then isolation, and then complete spiritual destruction. He wants to take you on that progression and take you out. The tool or the trap that he most often uses to accomplish that is offense. This is why Jesus gives us 1, 2, 3. This right here, take care of it and resolve it. This is why Scripture says that if you are offering an offering on the altar, Jesus said, and you remember that you've got something against a brother or sister, leave that offering there, get up, go handle your business, then come back and worship me. But resolve the offense. That's how serious. Why? Because it's a trap. It's a trap that the enemy sets for us. And it's crazy. I got back a little sawdust here. Sawdust. Can y'all see that? Little bitty particles of sawdust. It's funny though, over time, with enough little pieces that go unresolved, You create blocks, you create boards over time. It's funny, the things that young married couples fight over in the beginning that become major. It's funny, some of the things that married couples fight over, period, that become issues. To be honest with you, me and Kelly, we had a knockdown dragout that went on for months. I mean months, unresolved. It would always come back up. And it revolved around socks. It was socks, you know. So I used to cut grass to pay the bills, and I'd go out and I'd work and work hard, cut 20 or 30 yards in a day, come home, you know, and you get grass all over you when you're doing that. And it's too hot to wear pants, man. Those guys that do that, there's more power. I wear shorts and wear my socks, and the grass would get on my socks. So I come home from a hard day of work, and I take my socks off and put them in the laundry basket. And Kelly was sweet, and she would do the laundry, and she kept saying, "Hey, look, you got to start unrolling these socks and shaking them off before you put them in the laundry basket. You're getting grass all over the rest of the clothes." And I'm like, my first thought was somebody just said this. Isn't that what a washing machine's for? And then they do all that, and that was clean all that stuff out. You just put it in, and everything magically gets cleaned up. So she's like, "Unroll the socks." And I'm like, whatever. So I go to work. Next couple of days, same thing. I come home, socks go off. Dirty socks in a laundry basket. Well, it became a thing. She says, "I need to unroll the socks and be courteous to her because she's doing the laundry." I said, "I've been working all day out in the hot sun, cutting 30 yards. Maybe you could just serve me and unroll the socks when you do the laundry if I forget. Is it really that big a deal?" She said, "Exactly. Is it really that big a deal? Why can't you unroll the socks?" And I'm like, "Look, woman, now I'm going to pause here for a second and let you choose teams, all right? It'd be Team Kelly and Team Josh. So I didn't, hang on, let me just check the room. Team Kelly? Yeah. I don't even want to do this. Team Josh? Okay, that's a little better than I thought it was going to be. So it became this thing, man. And it was just like, well, it's just dumb. It's just unrolling socks. And finally, here's what I finally said, because she kept coming back, because sometimes I do it and sometimes I forget, but she'd always remind me when I forgot. And I was like, "This is getting kind of old. Look, it just unrolled the socks. If I forget, is it really that big a deal?" She's like, "If you cared enough about me, you'd remember to unroll the socks. Is it really that big a deal?" And I'm like, "Look, you just need to stop it. You know, just get into this." So I'm like, "Fine, I'll do my own laundry." She says, "Well, fine, go ahead and do it, big boy." And I'm like, "I will do it." So I started doing my own laundry. And you know what I did? I did whatever the heck I wanted to with my socks. And it was fine till she come back and say, "Look, I'm tired of picking grass out of my clothes when I do my laundry. Can you do something with it?" I'm doing my own laundry, woman. Leave me alone about the socks. It turned into this big thing because we didn't resolve it when it was a little thing, you know. And so months later, because this wasn't resolved, it left some boiling water in the relationship, so that when other things happened, they were no longer isolated incidents. They all got thrown into the pot with the socks and everything else. Little stuff. You ever wonder, like, how do people that are so happily married and so excited, so in love, can't keep their hands off each other? Oh, man, we're going to be married. 50 years from now, we're going to be celebrating our 50th anniversary. It's going to be amazing. It's gonna be so sad. And they end up divorced because of little stuff. People that we're friends with today, over little stuff, because little stuff unresolved becomes big stuff. It's a trap. Can y'all give me a few more minutes this morning? It's a trap. So the little stuff becomes the bigger stuff. And our offense literally will turn into offense that separates us and keeps us from the relationships God's called us to. It keeps us out of the ministries that God has called us to. It brings dysfunction and disunity and immaturity into our marriages. It damages our relationships with our kids. Because little stuff becomes big stuff if it's not dealt with. Doug and Kelly, could y'all help me for just a couple of minutes? Why don't y'all come on up here? I'm going to pick on y'all because y'all are a great married couple. Y'all give it up for Doug and Kelly. Now, I know this would never happen, but let's just say Doug and Kelly have a disagreement over some stuff. Now, these two... Listen, nobody's perfect, so I'll say that takes the pressure off of them. In case y'all see them arguing over how much gas Kelly or did or didn't put in the car in the parking lot, or whether Doug was on time, nobody's perfect. These two have a great marriage. That's why I brought you up here. Y'all are safe to do this with. All right, their hearts to please God. But let's say Kelly has a project she wants Doug to do around the house. She wants Doug, let's just say, replace the faucet in the sink. When you get time, replace the faucet in the sink. Now, Doug is top tier, number one, get it done, general contractor. He could do this stuff in his sleep. But he also runs a pretty busy schedule, so it's going to be when he has time to do it, right? So Kelly says, when you have time, it would be great. Doug says, no problem, baby. I'll change that faucet out. You pick out the one you want. I'll get it. I'll throw it in there. It'll be great. Well, a couple of months go by. Doug hadn't done it yet, but Doug's been busy. So Kelly goes back to Doug, and she goes, hey, baby, remember that faucet you said you were going to put in? Baby, you put it in. It'd be great. Doug says, hey, no problem. I'll do it when I got time. Kelly says, okay, that's great. If you can find the time sometime soon, that'd be awesome, because it'd be great. But Doug's response just doesn't sit perfectly right with Kelly, but she doesn't say anything about it, because she knows I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, even though I saw him watching football for 4 hours on Saturday, because he said he was tired. But he'll change the faucet. Well, another couple of months go by. Kelly comes back. She goes, hey, babe, when are you going to change that faucet? Well, Kelly's changed her tone a little bit. Doug says, well, I'm going to change it when I get time. I've been busy. She goes, well, look, I know you got to have fun, but you've been fishing twice this week. Would you mind prioritizing the faucet and getting it done? Doug says, look, I go fishing. He does. I go fishing. Well, I want to go fishing because I'm a man. Now he says, I got to decompress, relax a little bit. And honestly, I love you, but I just need a little bit of me time. What do you mean me time? You don't like hanging out? Got all this stuff starting to build up. Doug says, look, I hear what you're saying. Leave me alone about it. When I'm ready to do it, I'll get it done. Or we can pay somebody to come do it if you really got to have it tomorrow. It's not about paying somebody. I just asked you to do it, and I want... Is this a little too close to home, by the way? I'm just going to say. So Doug says, look, I'll do it when I'm ready to do it. Now, Doug raises his voice to Kelly. Doug raises his voice to Kelly, and it takes Kelly back to a relationship she had when she was a teenager. Because Kelly still got some unresolved stuff from way back when, and Doug just pushed a button that he had no idea that he just pushed. So you know what happens? The little stuff eventually becomes the big stuff, and Kelly gets offensed. Kelly begins to pull back from Doug just a little bit because now Doug's genuinely hurt her. Now, in Kelly's mind, there's an issue of trust here. Doug starts to notice that Kelly's pulling back because Kelly says, okay, fine. If he won't do it when I ask him to do the stupid faucet thing, that's fine. I'm a woman. I got some tricks in my bag. I'm just going to tweak the situation a little bit. And we'll start just trying to manipulate. I'm not going to nag, but I'm just going to push the matter just a bit. Well, this starts to cause some resentment in Doug, which fuels the fire that's going on with Kelly. Finally, Kelly says, all right, buddy, you don't want to do this. That's fine. We got issues. That's fine. I'm shutting down the Love Shack, baby. It's done. Now, I know nobody's ever done something stupid like that, but we're just shutting it all down. Forget about how many scriptures I'm going to violate when I do all of this. Forget about how selfish that either one of them are at that point. But we're going to shut it down. Doug's like, really? Okay, fine. I did fine before I met you. I'll do fine. It's fine. But it's, so Doug draws, boom. Now Doug's got offense. And what's crazy is, eventually, the fences, one goes in this hand, and one goes in that hand. Now the offense creates a what? Brings division. There's a barrier in the relationship. Now this is critical, because if they don't resolve this soon, it's going to get bigger. And here's what happens, because when you handle stuff like this, it's all got to be private, right? So Kelly starts calling all of her friends, because she needs prayer, because her husband's a Neanderthal, can't do anything right. But here's what's crazy is now this stuff comes back to Doug, and now Doug's not only dealing with this, but he's also got to deal with all the junk that's floating around the church about him, because little Miss Pretty over here couldn't keep her mouth shut, and is venting all over the place. But then what happens is, Doug says, when he's out fishing with some boys, God Almighty, guys, y'all be praying for me, because I'm about to cash in some life insurance on something. This, it gets back to Kelly, and now she's double offended. You see how this works now? It divides from the inside, and it divides from the outside, and a little bit unresolved over time will eventually not just bring problems in the marriage, it'll trickle in. You got problems now with extended family, you got problems in the church, because I promise you, whether it's this or a disagreement with someone in the church, other people are really quick to pick up the offense of someone else. It's like a dysfunction. It's like we can't help ourselves. They did what? They said, what to you? I can't believe they did that. We just keep our nose in our own business. It'd go a long way. We offense, 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 offense. And eventually, we find ourselves blocked from anything and everything that God has created us to be and called us to do. When if we had just handled it the right way the first time, none of this would have happened. Amen. If they would have just forgiven and served and loved, none of that would have happened. By the way, Kelly and I resolved our sock issue, in case you're wondering. If I'm carrying around a fence, I can't reach out and love to anybody, can I? Because what I'm going to do is hit them with the offense. It's a burden. And we forget sometimes that these little things that are so important to us and become so big to us, listen, instead of creating barriers and fences, maybe we just need a reminder that it needs to go here and be resolved the right way the first time. That's what I'm saying. Thank you. Y'all give it up for Doug and Kelly for helping me out. How do I know if I'm offended? Well, you probably have a pretty good idea. Matthew 18, Peter, probably asking the same question that you're asking right now if you got issues you're working through. Peter says, Lord, how often should I forgive somebody who sins against me? Seven times? And Jesus says, no, 70 times seven. That's 490. Who have you legitimately forgiven 490 times? Some of y'all are like, well, look, even if it was 100, you still got 390 to go. What Jesus is saying is, keep forgiving. Keep forgiving is what he's saying. Here's some things to think about. Because everything produces fruit, and unresolved offense and issues will create bitterness, and protective things will kick in, and you'll be able to see it plain as day. Let me give you some things. Number one, if you have bursts of rage and anger, probably coming from unresolved offenses. If you become petty and emotionally compulsive, probably unresolved offenses. Things just go from 0 to 11. Probably unresolved stuff. If you don't take responsibility for your feelings or reactions, everybody's fault because they did it. You're responsible for how you respond. You keep a running list of offenses. You replay the offense over and over in your mind. If you gossip about the situation and slander the other person, boy, that's just telltale right there. A spirit of offense is always going to do that. And if you can't see the person or hear about them without thinking of what they did, if you can't be in the same room with them, you haven't forgiven them. I'm not talking about restoration of the relationship, because sometimes those bridges are not repairable. Sometimes you have to come back to it years later. But forgiveness, you have 100% control over. Amen. Forgiveness, I have 100% control over. See, an offense is an event. Offended is a decision. Okay? There's no getting around that. There's enough scripture to show. Why are you on this, Pastor Josh? Here's why. Because I don't want to see you caught in the trap. I don't want to see the enemy take you out. So let me give you some advice as we're closing here today. A couple of quick thoughts. Number one, here's what I'd do. Lower your expectations of people. Lower your expectations of people. All right. You know that verse we read earlier that said, hey, take into consideration the faults of others. allow for that. Yeah. Lower your expectation. People are not perfect. People are going to make mistakes just like you. Which brings me to the next one. While you're lowering your expectations of others, I would absolutely raise your gratefulness for God's grace. The grace of God, I think, is the ultimate reminder. None of us are perfect. And if we want to receive grace, the Bible says we have to give grace to others. Jesus even went so far as to say, if you don't forgive other people, I can't forgive you. And think about that. Next to blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, that is the only other thing Jesus said. You can lift your hands and shout and praise God and all, but if there's legit unforgiveness here, Jesus says, can't. The highest form of hypocrisy is to deny others the same forgiveness we expect to receive from Jesus. So my challenge to you today is this. Forgive. Forgive. All right, handle the stuff when it's little before it becomes big. If the stuff is big, deal with it. Deal with it. Look, avoiding an issue never resolves the issue. You've got to forgive. You've got to deal with it. You've got to have an honest conversation and work it out. You've got to work it out in your marriage. You've got to work it out in relationships with your kids. You've got to work it out with one another in the church. Why? Because Scripture isn't suggesting this course of action for believers. It's a commandment from Jesus. This is how you do it. And I'm on this today because this right here is one of the more common ways that believers stumble and fall, because it's a perfect trap the enemy sets. But we are not unaware of the schemes of the enemy. Amen? See it for what it is. Resolve it. Let's get over ourselves. Let's be mature. Let's leave grade school and the past and operate like maturing believers with a heart to please God. Now, that doesn't make light of whatever an individual did. Okay? But our job is not to grandstand and build a case for indictment against an individual. Our job is to talk it through, try to restore the relationship. Our job is to forgive and let healing take place. Because there's a whole lot more at stake than who's right and who's wrong. You're talking about eternities, you're talking about callings, you're talking about living the Word of God. Father, thank you for the truth of your Word, for what you've done today, Lord Jesus, for the Word you're speaking to us now, for the move of your Spirit earlier. Father, I just ask that the Word sits where the Word needs to sit today. Lord, if we're here today and there's offense in our hearts, we know, and you know. God, I pray that people would just be set free from this trap of the enemy, from this pattern of immature behavior. Lord, that we would apply the Word of God to our lives in a practical way, and thereby obtain the freedom that comes from applying your Word. You gave us these instructions for a reason. They weren't just tips and suggestions. Lord, they are tools to navigate us through this life to avoid the schemes of the enemy so that we don't find ourselves caught in an offense with relationships divided, isolated, alone, so that the enemy can destroy us while we're distracted. So Father, I just pray that your peace and love rest over us today, and that peace and love become the motivation, not guilt, But peace and love become our motivation to restore relationships, to forgive, to release, and to let things go, Father. Because at the end of the day, the person that benefits the most from the forgiveness is us. But God, let us put it to work and choose to be mature. Let us cast out pettiness, or let us see the schemes of the enemy. Let us deal with it while it's small, so it never has a chance to become something big. We give you glory and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's give God praise in the house.